Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community at allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sister. Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Selling Art with Rich the Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Fridays, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturdays are split between Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds as he brings you Bad Company and Ekphrasia with Captain B and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Hearts of L&P with Victoria Foss and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mrs. Frost. Tuesdays, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Fridays are split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And good evening, Gene. How you doing?
Well, hello, Rex. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Yes. What is going on?
A turn in the weather. It was a nice, balmy 70 degrees and sunny today.
Yeah, it wasn't here. I can tell you that. It was okay here, but it got pretty chilly at one point. I was like, whoa. So I don't know. Mother Nature is still not sure what she's doing in my part of town. But that's all right.
We've even got an 80 predicted for one day next week.
Holy moly. I really am jealous now. I really am. Listen, I want to let you know I picked Pam up. She's joining us so far. Hello, Pam.
She's mutating.
I was, yes. Hi, Gene. Hi, Rex.
She's picking up your habits, Gene. You're spreading.
Yeah, let's blame Bill on that. I like that.
Hey, Gene got through a grand tour the other night.
Oh, 95 minutes.
Went through most of the show and kind of hit out on the back end of it, which was cool. Something different.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I called her out on the quiet and said, hey, there's a 3-second delay here. You know, I wasn't mutating. Ah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but the other night, wasn't it like I wasn't even 5 minutes in and I was on a mute? That was like awful.
That was funny.
I get started
too.
On that. Yeah.
I know.
Yep,
it seems once you get into it, it just keeps rolling and it snowballs and you can't help it.
I'm telling you, some days it's rough not to hit that button. All depends on what's going on around me, I guess. You know,
I'm also really envious of Rex's weather.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
With an 80 coming on Wednesday.
You're still waiting for what? You're waiting for a what there? What did you say you were still waiting on?
Oh, for the snow to melt.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, the house is kind of like in a valley, so we're basically surrounded by hills. Which is nice, beautiful. But what's going to happen is when all the rest of the snow is melted, there will still be snow in our yard. But our yard will also be the coolest come the summertime. So, you know.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas in June.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, she only gets a week of summer. I keep saying that to her.
That's all right.
Well, that sounds a little Alaska-ish.
Did you see this?
Our weather.
Oops, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I put this post on Facebook. You don't need a summer body if you live in an area that doesn't have summer. Hashtag Wisconsin.
There you go. Oh, my God. Wow. Well, we're sitting no higher than 6 feet.
I even have all the furries coming out there to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah, we're not any higher than 59 degrees for the rest of this week. We hit 61 Monday a week from now. And 67 on Tuesday. I'm like, whatever. I'm not even looking anyway. Just get what we get, I guess. Uh-huh.
I'll take pictures for you.
Thanks, Rex. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of cool.
it was kind of mean.
But
how?
It's already April, and we haven't hit 180 degree day yet. And normally we get those in March.
Wow. I am jealous. Hey, my grandson's going to be down, I think, somewhere in your neck of the woods, thereabouts. He's heading for South Carolina come next week, the weekend. He's going down to see his grandfather. I'm not exactly sure of the area, but I'll send him to your house for lunch. He's 11. I hope he can find his way. Yeah, that's his. He's coming down there for his spring break from school. So that'll be nice. So he'll enjoy the weather.
It'll be a turn of weather he won't be used to.
And that's the truth. Gosh. Yep. He won't want to come home. It'll be like summer. Yep. So I'm going to tell him when he's leaving, don't make me come get you.
Hey, maybe Granddad will break out the barbecue. Come on, boy. We're going to teach you how to eat real food.
Yeah, right. He's going to usually take some out on the boat and take some fishing, all that good stuff that boys love. So it's nice. I shouldn't say boys love because I like stuff. Silly stuff, that's me. Anyway, enough about that. Just wanted to throw that out there. But it'll be nice for him. It'll be a nice change of direction for him. So I like it. Yes, I do. So, Pam, what else is new with you? Anything exciting?
Oh, let's see. No, my life is completely not exciting. Let's see. Completely not exciting. I put away laundry. That was the highlight of my day. And watched part of Spider-Man Far From Home. So as you can tell, I'm an extremely boring person. But
I didn't see all that.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, so awesome topic for tonight, Rex.
Yes, that one is courtesy of Jessica D. So thank you, Jess. And I didn't know Offspring until I listened to some of the songs. Oh, I know that one. Well, heard them on the radio, but never knew who they were.
Yep.
Right.
That is when Randy was
still
singing. I
didn't realize they were still going strong because the last CD I had of theirs was Americana, and I had ordered that off of the BMG Music Club back in 1998.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember those BMG music offers where you get so many for a penny, but then you have to buy so many throughout the year?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. That and there was Columbia House. That was the other one.
Hey.
Yes.
It's easy to do that. You just never return.
Oh, yes.
You pick them up a dozen or so, and hey, you don't buy no more. Nobody ever knows.
Yeah, right? I was pretty good about doing that. I actually used to sell BMG music.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Along with all
here's
kinds
a bite
of fun
for
stuff.
You. How did the band get its name?
Ah, from a movie, from a horror movie, a sci-fi
a
horror movie.
A B-grade horror movie called The Offspring, Born to Kill. And it's kind of funny because their previous name was Manic Subsidal. Okay, we're going from Manic to offspring are born to kill.
That's funny to imagine the moment they were watching that movie or heard or saw a commercial for that movie and went, that's it. That's our new name.
Well,
Black Sabbath. Caterpillar.
They got Tony Iommi got that from the movie from back in the day in the '30s with Boris Karloff called Black Sabbath.
Cool.
See that?
And before we get anywhere else. Hey, next week is up. I got Eddie and the Cruises on tap for next week.
Nice.
Oh, awesome. Great choice there, Rex.
Well, all right, then, since we're here and we're now, maybe we should get things rolling.
There you go. I can do that. Your voice is my command. Here we go. I'm going to put the first one up for you, Rex. This is the one of the carryovers. And we'll kick it off like that. Good deal?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Whenever you're ready.
Oh. As soon as it comes across. Hello. There it is. Ode to Julia, devotion of body, mind, and soul. In the Mediterranean sun of Sardinia, listening to the Lornetta pipes play, you fed me Gatta de Musica, topped with pecorino and fennel, while we drank a bottle of garnet red Grenache. As the sun set, our red wine stained lips touched. Nourished by a feast which satisfied all five senses, the Durum bread and Canona wine delivered life through body and blood, sending electricity shooting up my spine. I rode alone along the coastal Mumbai streets, among the palm trees and humidity, until I reached the lush Sivananda Ashram Yoga campus, where the common yogis bowed, greeting me before I closed my eyes in meditation for 12 weeks. Streams gushed out of the dam, emptying my mind, quenching the thirst deep within me as I flowed, floating along the Ganges in the form of water, my spirit saturated. With chakras aligned and my third eye open wide, I washed up on Bali Beach, crashing with fluid Zen momentum and overflowing with optimism. While surfing the waves of Padang Padang, I saw her golden skin rising out above the ocean's horizon. 2 years later, I married to Julia, the mermaid rose out of the sea and swam into my arms in Indonesia. And poem. And that was done to a whiter shade of pale. Nicely done, Harris. Nice. Thank you. And Pam, why don't we kick it with you first?
All righty. Well, I thought this was beautifully written. I like how he brings in there's all the senses used, the sense of sound, touch, taste. I really like nourished by a feast which satisfies all five senses, the Durum bread and Canoma wine delivered life through body and blood, sending electricity shooting up my spine. There's a wonderful combination of sensuality and spirituality within this. I also really liked the chakras aligned and my third eye opened wide, I washed up on Bali Beach, crashing with fluid Zen momentum. Beautiful lines there. And it's interesting to me. The ending is interesting to me because it suddenly feels like a sharp turn, like that, like almost like you weren't expecting it. Like 2 years later and married to Julia, the mermaid who rose out of the sea and swam into my arms in Indonesia. It's like it ends with a sudden splash of ocean waves right in your face, and it has such a delightful mythological feel of, being married to to all of a sudden Julia the Mermaid. So really a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was clever and well written. I like the crossover between the song and the movie Eat, Pray, Love, because he says he stole the plot from that. I don't think he meant stole it either, but, you know, grabbed up some inspiration from that, I think. And I thought that was a clever crossover between the two. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. So nice work, Eric. Glad to see you tonight. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I like the thought that from the whitest shade of pale, he's offering up the darker angle of things, the Mediterranean sun, and what was it, the coastal Mumbai streets, and again, Padang, Padang, the Ganges. So there's some nice warmth as opposed to the whiter shade of pale. He went to the opposite end of it, but saved the best piece of it into the back end of this was that 2 years later and married to Julia, the mermaid who rose out of the sea and swam into my arms in Indonesia. Kind of another nod going back a week because we had mermaid with the Tales of Brave Ulysses. So I like that angle brought out because this walks a very warm notion. The Lunada pipes, a nice touch up top, the pecorino and fennel. There's some nice warmth and in the food as well as the spice in that Grenache, Canao wine, and the palm trees and humidity until I reached the lush Sivananda Ashram Yoga campus where the Karma Yogis bowed greeting me before I closed my eyes in meditation for 12 weeks. That's a nice touch there to wake up. Third eye aligned for that third run down the shoreline. Well done, Eric. Thank you very much for this piece. All right, Jean.
Nice.
Where shall
just we? So everybody knows me. Yep, I got the next one ready to go. But I want you to know Nature Boy is in the room, so everybody beware. Don't.
Nature Boy? What's that?
Yeah, Nature Boy. And Jeremy's out there. You know, he runs around naked all the time.
Oh.
I thought he was going to say hoo-hoo.
The streaker's in.
Nature Boy.
Wasn't that something about offering a hand towel as a cover 1 week?
Yeah, we've been down that road a couple of times in my life. I keep giving him towels, and I don't know. I don't ask what he does with them. He just doesn't. But it's all right. He must not be listening. He's too serious in his responses in the room. Well, good evening, Jeremy. Anyway, the next piece I put up, I'm going to read this one, and it's I don't know how many carryovers you actually had, but this is one of them. So, and then we'll go to Pam. But this is called Chandelier High by Betty Page. Neath neon rainbows, seduced by sticky sweet smoke, enticed by passion, aroused by his eyes, divine sky blue, fine cool waves, intense, hot as fire. Igniting my heart, dangling in chandelier high, getting lost in clouds, escaping all crowds, enchanted, fascinated, intoxicating. He feels my heartbeat as I feel his when we kiss. So mesmerizing. I want to stay high, dancing with him by starlight on fantastic trips. He drives me insane, enamored, I'm daydreaming, smitten, so in love. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And Betty went with, as the ceiling flew away, when we called out for another drink, the waiter brought a tray. So Betty went specific on the line thoughts. All right, Pam, what you got?
I like this. Isn't there a song? Yeah, there is. There's a song called Chandelier. I had to think about that for a couple seconds. I really like that she went with chandelier high because the chandelier is great imagery. Not only makes you think of being high, but it makes you think of being high on something fancy like champagne or, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. It just has a really, the imagery to it, I really appreciate. And great read there, Phil. I like igniting my heart, dangling in chandelier high, getting lost in clouds, escaping all crowds, enchanted, fascinated, intoxicating. I like how this speaks about love, but it's also kind of that, like, feels like that kind of high of getting high on drugs. So it's got a duality to it. I also really like, I want to stay high dancing with him by starlight on fantastic trips. That just sounds just, you know, I tell you, when Betty puts romantic lines in, they just really stand out because that sounds absolutely beautiful to me.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about Chandelier High for you?
Well, I've done my fair share of swinging from their chandeliers.
That was, it beats dancing on the tables.
Well, yeah, but that was a whole different story. I think Betty did a great job with this, and I loved her take on that prompt, the piece of the song that she chose. You know, as the ceiling flew away, when we called out for another drink, the waiter brought a tray. She took those lines and really created a Betty Page piece because she does wonderful romantic and sensual and you know, just she does great work on that. And this is no less than that. I think they had great visuals throughout. And it was just a great take. So nice job, Betty, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Yes, she plays off that one line, the ceiling flew away, offering up chandelier high as the annotated note for the title. But then again, that second line kind of revs in the motion of the of where that chandelier high is going. Seduced by sticky, sweet smoke. Ah, there's ganja on the horizon. And then again, dangling in chandelier high, getting lost in clouds. Escaping all crowds, enchanted, fascinated, intoxicating. That does lend itself to a sweet night. Hanging out with somebody. Buzz beyond belief. Sticky, sweet smoke. And enjoying everything in the feeling, the moment, alive. Fantastic trips. Well done, Benny.
Nice.
All right, Gene.
Okay, jokey. Well, I think that I'm going to put up a piece for Pam. Pam, are you ready?
Ready, willing, and able.
Uh-oh. Look out, world.
Yeah. She's ready to take over the world. All right. This is I Can't Get Away From Me by Jessica D. And it goes like this. My reflection is broken. She's a real fucking bitch, a parasite token with a psychopath switch. Tonight she broke my fingers in a screaming fit of rage. As a shadow she lingers, bitch, go back in the cage. She's feasted today and taken control. I fell back halfway till she found a loophole. I have many altars, but she's the only one. When my patience falters, I'd reach for a gun. I'd reach for a gun when my patience falters. She's not the only one. I have many altars. She's found a loophole I fought back halfway. She's taken control and feasted today. Bitch, go back in the cage as a shadow she lingers. In a screaming fit of rage, tonight she broke my fingers. With a psychopath, a parasite token, she's a real fucking bitch. My reflection, she's broken. End poem.
Nice.
Great Reef Dam. And that was a nice, what do they call this one?
Oh, I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yes. I wasn't expecting the second half to be the same thing, but run backwards for the thought. I like that. That was played out very nicely, offering up both the thought and the reflective value back on the other end of it by running it backwards, which is that takes a lot of time and effort to make sure it reads as well forwards as it does backwards, and that's not an easy task. Ooh. But and it does kind of hit on that notion, I can't get away from me. Because if you're always stuck with the same image of yourself and it reflects back at you, there is that notion of fighting with oneself and being some kind of a time warp with the notion of living with the idea. I don't know what that is offhand. Oh, dissociative identity disorder. Ah, dummy, we should have known that. Okay. Now I get it. Fits very well. Damn, that was played well. Thank you, Jess. And Gene, why don't we come to you?
Well, first I checked my watch, but then I was like, okay, whatever. Anyway, I think it was a great piece. You know, I don't know much about any of the prompts that were out there, but I can say that living with DID. To put a mirrored piece like this up as a reflection of dissociative identity disorder is clever. It's smart because it's a matter of, you know, looking back at yourself and looking at two separate things that are one, you know. And I think that she kind of nailed that very much in this. And it was just well worded. Yes, I did say that. And I think that it really had an impact and it packed a punch. It was a powerful write, let me put it that way. And I think that Jessica did an excellent job with it. So nice job, Jess, and thanks for sharing.
Well said, Gene. Oh, and by the way, Robbie's got table dancing cowboys for you.
Holy macaroni. I got to go. You can't got to handle it. I got things to do.
He's picking up on Jeremy's goods. Got to play out the angles.
Oh,
my God. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, first of all, it's a palindrome is the form. Yes, and I do think that was a perfect choice because the mirroring, as Gene mentioned, worked really well for living with, you know, the representation of living with DID. And I thought this was a powerful and emotive write, and I really like how that was an excellent expression of inner turmoil and lashing out with anger. And I like how she made it like, as if looking in a mirror and realizing there are times when you are your own worst enemy and there are times when life just really hits hard and you have no control over anything. I really particularly liked, she found a loophole, I fought back halfway, she'd taken control and feasted today. Just absolutely an amazing write and powerful and very well done.
Well said. Thank you very much, Pam. And I guess we're coming back to you, Gene.
Ooh, wow, I'm sitting here in the days. I didn't even comment on the piece written in written form. Good Lord have mercy. Okay, let me find one for...
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, I see a lot of women.
I'm just teasing.
I'm just, okay. Well, if you ever end up in a pair of penny loafers and a cute little skirt, you know, you just know that.
Don't ever I end up on what?
Nothing. I put a piece up for you, Rex.
You mean I gotta listen to this again to find out what you said? That's not fair.
Well, at least we're only a half hour in, so it can't be that painful. There we go.
All right. Here we go. Life's a chore by Darkened Auras. Sometimes I wish I could go back to my youth when I was free, back when the world was innocent, nothing that I couldn't be. But we all grew up and learned the truth, how the world was dark and cruel. It didn't get better for some of us who were terrified of school. Suddenly there are bills to pay, food must be put on the table, and we do whatever needs to be done. We're forced to pretend we're able. Darkness clouds our minds, but we're coerced to fake a smile. Memories of happier days taunt us all the while. Some people turn to drugs to help them cope with such strife. Accidental overdose and suicide, in spite, soon takes a life. And we're made to just go on, living such a chore, lying, hiding true feelings, locked behind a door. And poem. All right, Pam.
Nice.
This one's coming to you first.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I always enjoy and appreciate Darkened Auras poetry. They're a wonderful rhyming poet, and I think the sentimentality that they open up with in the beginning is relatable to many. Me, personally, I've never had any desire to go back to any age. I'm happy with moving forward, but I do know that many people relate to the idea of going back to a more innocent time. And I like how she speaks in general throughout this whole write about how the reality of life really hits you hard as you become an adult and go more and more into adulthood. The whole idea of just how terrifying life is, how much all the responsibility can really weigh on you. I particularly like darkness clouds our minds, but we're coerced to fake a smile. Memories of happier days taunt us all the while. And then, I like the idea that she expresses that the idea that we so too often have to fake that smile. And another part that really impressed me was the stanza after that, because she mentions, and as I told her, I thought she did a really great job of offering up thought to the idea that oftentimes people turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with stress and pain. So just really an excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, what do you think?
Well, I think it was a well-written piece. And, you know, the way it starts out, sometimes I wish I could go back to my youth. You know, I think if most people worry us that, you know, they'll go back for one reason or another, maybe not for the innocence of it, but to go back and kind of redo things, you know, in a different way. And I think that's always one of those concepts for poetry that is intriguing. You know, and I don't know. I think that it's just really well done. But it says down here, you know, darkness clouds our minds. And that's so true for so many, you know. And some turn to drugs. I mean, I think she hit on some very good points in this, right? And I think that she brought them to light. And I think that was the purpose here. So it was nicely done, Darkened Auras. And... yeah, good piece.
Third. Excellent. Thank you, Jean. You're right. That notion of that first stanza kind of hits on the thought of going back to a simpler time, the youth, when there was freedom, innocence, and you could dream of anything and everything in the moment. Because, hey, that's what you do when you're kids. That second stanza hits on that note of not fitting in and terrified of school. And the third one bites into that sort of not being taught the necessities in school, preparing you to move out of school and into life as it is, which is kind of a hard forced reality these days. And then with that, there is that notion of darkness does kind of ebb its way into the flow of one's mind, and the sort of turning to drugs and such for a coping mechanism does lead one down a path that ends up more often than not on the wrong turn of things. And the idea in that last stanza, we're made to just go on living such a chore, lying and hiding true feelings locked behind the door, as I'm being stuffed into a box. You know, you're left with the paradox of, hey, I'm nothing and anything yet. I'm kind of stuck because of that which has led to this moment in time. Nicely done, Dark and Aura. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
I think Jeremy's trying to shine up your bottle to let the genie out.
Should be rubbing on my bottle, mister.
Well, there is that thing about the clothes getting itchy, so must be up to polishing.
I was shocked he had some on when he said that. Oh, my gosh. See how it goes? Well, I'll tell you. Okay. My. Well, Rex, I don't know. You know, that's the first time. That's really the first time. I don't know what's going on here. There's something up. Better write that on our calendars. What's that? What
calendars.
Happened? Calendars.
Are we going to go with the Gregorian or the Julian?
Well, you take one, I take the other. Who cares? So we
and
get it all
we'll
covered.
Never be on the same date again.
Well, there's what the hell? I'm lucky I'm ever on the same date as anybody else. Oh, my God.
Well, no, it's because
the
Gregorian and Julian are two different calendars. They offer up one date, and the Gregorian does not match up with the Julian. So we'll always be
We'll have pants together. Yeah, you take the high road, I'll take the low road. Pam will weave it together, and we'll make it work, man. You know? Chicken for you.
We'll meet at the Bacchanalia.
There we go. That'll be it. That'll be all over and done with then. No, I'm only kidding. Pam's back. I killed enough time for her to get back. But I'm going to read the next poem. So what do you think of that? Two. See, two now. Working on two. Everybody gets quiet. Gosh, am I muted again? Wait, let me see.
Well, no, you're not muted. Hey, don't jinx yourself. You've done good so far. It's 44 minutes.
Yeah, but we got through a whole thing, and I had to go put a poem up, and I'm sitting here, like, lollygagging around. I hadn't written up the damn, well, whatever. That's my
I thought you were. I thought you were just talking your way through it.
Yeah, I talked, but I never wrote it down. Even after I finished, I never wrote it down. I don't know. It's rough around here, I'm telling you. Okay, I'm going to read the next one, Rex. I'm going to put it up right now. This is by Betty Page. You know, it's tough on me, man. Okay, let's see now. This is called Glossy Stairs by Betty Page. Daggers to my heart, again and again, again, bleeding on pavement. Both of us alone, we two lost is in glossy stairs. See, you're far away, yet still close enough. You're always just out of reach as I beg for you. Tears won't roll down cheeks, both caught in circumstances. So long we don't cry. I desire you, cascading within my heart. I cascade in yours, lost in glossy stairs. Waves crashing deep in my soul, pouring rain inside. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, now that you're back, why don't you start us off, please?
Okie dokie, Smokey. I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. I like that we've gotten two of Betty's rights in a, not in a row, but close together, so we can see a really fine example of her, her diversity in the emotions that she can express. I thought the phrase glossy stares was a beautiful way to describe just before the tears start rolling, where they're lingering in the eye and it gets all like glossy and blurry. You know, that moment right there and the some impact of the sadness. You know, I really like, I desire you cascading within my heart. I cascade in yours, lost in glossy stairs, waves crashing deep in my soul, pouring rain inside. Pouring rain inside was another beautiful phrase with the idea of that the crying isn't just something that's external. It's something that's felt deep within. And I really just thought this was a beautiful emotive write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
I did. I felt that the sense of longing and loss in here in this piece was strong. I thought it was very well expressed. Just nicely done. Good imagery. You know, and as Pam said, great phrasing. So I liked it very much. Thanks, Betty.
I like that that picture she used. Those oversized stems of roses with the oversized thorns. Nice touch, because mm-hmm. she led off to that with daggers to my heart again and again and again, bleeding on pavement. Both of us alone, we two lost in glossy stairs. See, you're far away. Is that notion, because she hits on down the back end, lost in glossy stairs, waves crashing deep in my soul, pouring rain out inside. There's that idea of being close, yet because of their circumstances, they're on opposite ends of where they want to be. So the thought of that which is occurring from the bleeding down to the cascading thoughts is something that cannot be shared in the moment because of where they are within their lives. That was a nice touch with the glossy stairs, offering that kind of a moment lost in thought, ruminating, mm-hmm. dreaming. Nicely done, Betty. Thank you very much.
All right, okay. Miss Pam, I have one for you.
Okie dokie.
So whenever you're ready.
Wait, that
was not me.
What time? I didn't get a perm for that one.
Oh, okay. He doesn't have permission for this one.
Oh. Well, we're just going to disregard that one then. Shame. Ah, see, I guess I should have read that little note that said pending. That would have helped. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this one up. Good thing you guys are on the ball. Okay, Dan, I'm going to have you read this next in line.
All right, and she's not calling in? I guess not. Okay.
I have no idea. No,
all right. Well, this is I Want You Bad by Passion's Promise, and it goes like this. I guess you misunderstood the dreams I had hoped for, skin-tight leather pants all tatted up. I want you bad, 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 bad. I want you bad. I don't want no school kid charmer. I want you in vinyl armor. To be bad, gotta look bad. Come on, baby. I need it. I want it. I gotta have it. Don't need you to be innocent. There's time later to repent, baby. Strip off some clothes and let's go bad, baby. No prone position. It's all positions, baby. From head to toe, I want to rock you. Get past being flirty. Gonna get down and dirty. I want you bad, 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 bad. I want you bad. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Compassionate took I Want You Bad by Offspring. And I don't remember the lyrics offhand, but just on the title alone kind of walks that way. Gene, what do you think?
Well, I think she wants him bad. Absolutely.
That was too easy.
Gosh, I want to say it was a fun piece, but I have to like read it a little bit deeper, make sure I'm not making an ass of myself when I say it. But you know, the repetition kind of had me like, okay,
oh no, the gist,
you know,
is right up there in front of you. It's plain.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah, but you know, I'm always multitasking, so I have to behave myself. But it just, it was a good piece. It really was. It was fun. It was different. It was something, that I really wasn't expecting because I just plopped it up there. I was listening with one ear while I was doing something else. But yeah, good job, Passions. Good job. She says no problem saying what she wants. Very assertive.
Are you blushing?
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. I know my cheeks are still cool.
Thank you, Gene. Pam, what about you? You got to read it.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun read. I had a very lyrical quality to it. Now, there is actually a song that goes, I Want You Bad, doesn't it? I mean,
well, that's the name of the song. I don't remember the lyrics offhand.
Not the one from Offspring, but there's another one that I'm thinking of. I'll have to look it up later. I know that it was the name of the song from the Offspring, but there's another one. I'll just have to get to that later. But there was a definite lyrical quality to it. And what I liked also was that the phrase, I want you bad, has a duality to it. It's that whole idea of really wanting somebody, but it's that whole idea of like wanting that bad boy. And so that was a really clever way to, you know, say two things with one phrase. I like how this has that whole tell it like it is attitude. And I particularly like no prone position. It's all positions, baby, from head to toe. I want to rock you. Go past being flirty, going to get down and dirty. There's a really nice rhyme flow to that and clever and fun and very well done.
Absolutely. And I just refreshed my thoughts on the lyrics. She did kick into the lyrics. There was a portion that hits on the on X-rated, so that was where the flirty, the dirty, and there was all positions instead of prone position. So, and then there was this thought of, I want you in vinyl armor. That's a kind of an odd notation, but it kind of hits on the notion of a record itself, the original vinyl. I want you on the record and ready to go. Oh. Well done, Passions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's always you. For shame on me.
Gosh, I don't know. It's always something. You know, the room has grown quiet. Jeremy and Robbie must have taken a nap.
He must be sitting in the hot tub waiting for you.
I don't know what he's doing. They're
Don't
go there, because he'll probably pop back in and says, you caught me. Now here's your share.
Well, I don't know. Just awful quiet out there. But Rex, I'm putting the next piece up for you to read. Whenever you are ready.
Okie dokie.
There we go.
The Trial of the Century by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie in the Trial of the Century. Dun, dun, dun. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trial of the Century. I am your announcer in this unprecedented historical trial. The particulars are being sworn in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth? So swear you.
I swear, son of Frona Russin.
I do swear, your judgeship, son of a biscuit, mother sucker, damn it. That's some pretty good swearing. Thank you, your judgeship. I got some more if you need. No, no, that's quite all right. Let's proceed. Dun, dun, dun. Now, for those of you who have been living under a rock and are just now being made aware of this blockbuster trial in which the plaintiff, a certain Lawrence 67, is suing the defendant, Nigel the Fat Cat, for breach of contract because Nigel thought Lawrence 67 was not doing his noble diligence in the creation of Nigel's invention. And so, Nigel fired Lawrence 67. Let's listen in. Dun, dun, dun.
Come to order, please. All parties have been sworn, Your Honor, and I swear if I catch them outside, I'll kick their ass.
To be continued, brought to you by Jubo's, Carnesseria, and Petting Zoo, where our motto is, you can pet your rivet. Good night, everybody. And Tom.
Oh my goodness.
The kids aren't all right. And went with the cats aren't all right. So, nice motif.
Right.
Pam?
did you want me to comment?
Yes, after you've finished belly rolling.
Yes. Well, first of all, I really like how he threw a great read there, Rex. I really like how he threw in the law and order, tum, tum, tum. That really just got to me because I can just, like, picture myself watching Law and Order, and right when they get to the end of one scene, they do that, the tum, 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 and then split on, go on to the next. So it really just added to the atmosphere. But the humor, oh, my gosh, this is so great all the way through. I do swear your judgeship, son of a biscuit, mother sucker, dog mammoth. That reminds me of when my dad used to say sheep dip. He'd be like, oh, sheep dip. I like the back and forth dialogue. I like how he always has these adventures with himself and his cat. And even the AN, the cat, kids aren't all right. Great, all the way through. But that ending really had, well, this part too, sorry, one more part. Because Nigel thought Lawrence 67 was not doing his noble diligence in the creation of Nigel's adventures. And then that ending, petting zoo, where our motto is, you can pet your riblet. I love that double entendre. That's excellent, right?
I remember that cartoon, The Far Side, when you got pictures of wolves standing around this big cauldron and they're dipping sheep. Sheep dip.
Oh, The Far Side is awesome.
Oh, all right, Gene. Now that I made a huge guffaw with this thing, what did you think?
You know what? I thought it was funny. I really did. Lawrence 67, you know, before I heard you read what he wrote, I was totally lost. I'm like, what is all this? And I couldn't, like, just couldn't pull my stuff together to read it right. First time I heard you read one of his pieces, I went, okay. Yeah, I get it. So I think that he does a great job writing these. And, I'm glad we have you to read them because I would have mutilated this, as would most people. You know.
You would have been just
And I think it's funny, clever. I like how he incorporated himself into this right at some point. And Yeah. It was just a job well done. So nice work, Lawrence, and thanks for sharing.
You're right. He doesn't usually drop himself in, but with the trial atmosphere and the motif he took with it, plus the fact that he worked off that song, The Kids Aren't All Right, and threw it out as The Cats Aren't All Right, was another clever play. I enjoy reading these because they're always funny, they're always far out, and they make for some nice interludes, especially with what he gets into, this courtroom scene. That was actually pretty damn hilarious. I enjoyed that, especially Alfie. Yeah, I swear. I'll go that way. And then that's quite all right. Let's go on. I've had enough. The judge. Just a brief intro and thought within the courtroom itself. But the announcer is the angle played off hard up top and down at the bottom as well, which is cool. I actually finally got in most of the voices all on their own.
Yes.
Yeah, that ain't easy. He doesn't make it challenging, but I always enjoy him. It's funny as hell.
Right. Takes a little practice, I would think. So
it
all worked out.
Yeah, my voices. I don't do them enough.
Yeah. I have plenty of voices, but they're all in my head. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Must be that Midsummer Night's Madness.
Well, I'm telling you. Either that or it's that gin over there. I don't know which, but I'm not telling. Let everybody wonder about it. Let them all think I'm half shot. It's all good. Okay. Am I supposed to be doing something?
Oh, yes.
Am I just
coming around to the next one? You got this discombobulated on Nigel the Fat Cat and his buddy Alfie?
It does not take much for me to get discombobulated.
It is a wild ride, those hairy buggers.
Yep. I always fasten my seatbelt before the morning starts. And then, at bedtime, I'm afraid to let it just loose. God knows where I might end up in the middle of the night. Okay, here we go. This one is called Calling You by Rose Winter 515. I call you by your name, but you have gone away. You have gone away. Your grave face tells me black roses are no company. Grave face gone away. Sway roses, sway in peace. Prayers for peace. Granite world of ice and snow. Unfair earth of war and peace. Sky stings sky. I call your name. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Sam.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful brevity. I like how it has the repetition lines, sky, string, sky, wonderful alliteration with sway roses, sway in peace, prayers for peace. I like how the general idea is calling out for somebody who is gone, somebody who perhaps has died and finding no comfort in life. I particularly thought it was very clever the way she used grave face gone away, because a word that has two different meanings. Grave as in, the grave is in the representation of death, but also grave as in serious or, perhaps a mean. I don't, you know what I mean? Like there's a, I like
a dark and gray thought to a cloud covering one's appearance, grave.
Yes, exactly. There's that duality of different representations of the word grave. Granite world of ice and snow. Now, that hit me particularly hard because I felt granite world of ice and snow that one line to me speaks of somebody who died in a car accident. Maybe perhaps because of the black ice or, you know, the you know what I mean, how winter time gets very dangerous in some areas. And I could be reading it wrong, but that's what comes to my mind. And it's a beautiful and heartfelt brevity and very well done.
Well said, Dan. Thank you. And Jean, you got to read that, and you did a great job. What do you think?
You know, I have to agree with Pam. I think that it was an excellent brevity. And the repetition makes it a bit haunting in the how we receive that poem. I think the longing was well expressed. And I'm with you too, Pam. I think that this is just about death. It's not about someone just wandering off and saying, I've had enough, I'm out of here. I mean, it's definitely, I think, on a deeper level. And I do like that the different uses of the different words. You know, your grave face tells me, you know, I mean, that is interesting there. And, you know, one is capitalized and the other one is not. So you know that they're, you know, gunning for two different meanings there. But definitely a well-done piece. And to me, that granite world of ice and snow, that was interesting because when I saw the granite, I automatically thought of a tombstone. So, but, you know, it doesn't matter because it's not a right or wrong thing. It's just an interpretation. And only she knows. So I think it was just a nicely done piece. And thank you very much, Rose Winter, 515.
Excellent comment, Jean. I like that thought with the haunting. And it does have a nice haunting lilt to it. And that I was gravitated to that second stanza. Like you, your grave face tells me black roses are no company. Grave face gone away. It does walk in almost a mirror effect. Black roses are no company. That kind of hits on the notion of spending too much time at the grave, that you're there, that the roses left are now dead and wilted. And then the next one down, sway roses, sway in peace, prayers for peace. But then that granite world of ice and snow had me thinking of maybe an ice age coming in, the coldness of humanity, unfair earth of war and peace. And then sky stings, sky, I call your name. I had almost a thought to the calling angle being for God, for spiritual awareness, something along that line. But then again, I'm wrong most of the time, so that's just a thought.
Yeah. I'm not that wrong. Like I say, it's no right or wrong thing. It's
no,
just interpretation.
It's a matter of, it offers up plenty of notes for interpretation in such a brief few words and lines.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we're coming back to you once more.
Okay. Pam, I have the next one for you, hon.
Okie dokie.
Here we go.
Doo-doo-doo. Intentionally Miss the Previous Train by Duncan Ross Bell. And it goes like this. Withered shade, long day, and patient sleep, a wink for a stare, a flare for the unaware. I wave and fade, grasp the faint and swallow deep, a touch for a glare, a bare bone for me to share. From there I'll ponder on, till then I'll seek to carry on. From then I'll wander on, piece to pieces, lust to lovingly, the constants from a tender lip, a dip from hand to hip, I see through the lie, wake of day denied, end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, I'm going to call on you for the first one.
You always do that when I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. You're good at that. No, I'm kidding. I know. Let's see now. This is going to be a minute. I don't know. I think it's a nicely written piece. I'm trying to, like, kind of wrap my head around it. And I don't even know what the prompt is. It's prompt number two.
Prompt number two. Well, I don't think prompt number two will make any difference to you, except maybe the title.
I don't think it will.
It is number two was breaking these bones. Okay.
Breaking these bones. See, I know what it's all about now. No, I'm only kidding. I just think that. I think I had BM going for a second. I think it was a well-written piece, like I said. And I think that it's a very expressive. I don't know. Don't make me seem sillier than I already am, you know. But I'll listen to you guys, and then I'll say, yeah, what they said. Oh, the hell is it? Yeah, what they're going to say, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, totally we can do that for you.
Oh, thank you.
Toss this to you first, which is usually unfair for me, but I get you now and then. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, as always, I thought he had a great rhyme and flow and excellent wordplay. I do have to say, before I comment, I really like how, Gene, you really pulled off this bravado when Rex said, I don't know if the song title will make a difference to you. And you said, oh, but I bet it will. Wow, listen to that bravado.
Oh, my God. That's because I knew I was lying through my teeth. Yes. There was no hope of me having any chance of figuring this out. Yeah.
But, like you always say, poetry is open to interpretation. Now, my short answer was that I thought it was a wonderful write on the way your eyes are opened to the bare bones tossed from the hands of liars. It's he's got great wordplay. A flare for the unaware, I wave and fade. I wave and fade is that representation of like the waving flag and the unity and the fading of a nation's pride. A bare bone for me to share. There's this, like I said, there's this realization. The main message of this rite is realizing while the rich are getting their steak dinners, those below are fighting for the bare bones, not fighting for treats. They're fighting their dogs. We are treated as dogs fighting for scraps under the table. I really also like how he plays with the phrase piece to pieces. The idea that when you make people fight for their needs, peace is ripped apart. Also, a dip from hand at hip, I see through the lie, wake of day denied. It just great inner and end rhyme. It has a very hard-hitting, as I always say, if he doesn't already, Duncan Ross Bell should be writing raps. He does a wonderful job with that, and he does a great job on touching on social issues. So I thought this was very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Nice catch with the scraps at the table, because that's pretty much what I got. But there was a nice run in that first stanza. A wink for a stare, a flare for the unaware, I wave and fade, grasp the faint and swallow deep, a touch for a glare, a bare bone for me to share. Damn. Great run of rhyming thought right there. But intentionally miss the previous train. There is that note there. And then I wave and fade right in the middle. There is that notation of missing that train. Why? Because you hit on that three-line stanza in the middle, which kind of hits on the thought of I'll ponder on. Till then, I'll seek to carry on. From then, I'll wander on. The idea of, you left me with not much, and I got to think on this and seek to carry on. The piece to pieces, I thought you hit that nicely with the thought of having peace and then be torn to pieces. Lust lovingly, again, that note of maybe it started with lust and hit lovingly, but the back end sees, I see through the lie, wake of day denied. That is a long, hard note at the back end of this, understanding, knowing. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay, and like I said, it's what they said, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to put up a piece for you, Rex, and I'm going to be right back.
Okie dokie. Oh, okay. Hope Springs by Rich F. I sit and wait for something strange occurring. The moon squints through my curtains, torn and tattered. Battered bedstead, now my dreams deferring. Threadbare carpet, tea and bloodstained spattered. My back door slams. The walls around my heart subside, give way. And so the teardrops start. Falling now upon my broken bones, acid snowflakes caustic burn my eyes. Out in the garden, now the sleeping stones that stir and shred my flesh, my soul denies, and I remain within my house of pain, and Satan's sable sings his sweet refrain. Trying now to bridge the gap to you, my battery dead, the phone lines are all cut. My garden gate, event horizon blue, that blocks the path, screaming, no way through. My bedroom prison door at last slams shut. And poem. And, well, Rich went with a couple. The Breaking Bones and Behind Your Walls. All right, Pam, why don't you lead us into...
All right. First of all, great read there, Rex. You know, I always appreciate Rich because when he writes for the Rhythm and Rhyme contest, he's always got something encouraging to say, you know, about the band, like great band, great music. And you can tell he really has an appreciation for the music. As always, wonderful rhyme and alliteration. I like that he has such a dark right, but uses the phrase hope springs, you know, the idea of hope springs eternal. But then again, we have a play on words, as in like the idea of bed springs and like laying on the bed. At least, you know, that's a thought I had. I like battered bedstead, now my dreams deferring, threadbare carpet, tea and blood things splattered. My back door slams, the walls around my heart subside, give way, and so the teardrops start. You know, there's part of me that feels like there's something in those lines besides wonderful visceral imagery and the idea of that fear that people get when they can't leave their house. That's what this kind of makes me think of. And I'm blanking out on what it is, but do you know what I'm talking about, Rex?
Agoraphobia.
Yes. It has that agoraphobia feeling to it. I also thought it was a very emotive write on the painful struggle with one's own personal demons. And there also was to me this whole idea of, trying now to bridge the gap to you, my battery dead, the phone lines are all cut. There's this idea of that separation that really hits hard. And also I felt like there's a, kind of this idea of feeling judged by your own thoughts, feeling taken down taken prisoner by your own thoughts. So just a really emotive write and very well done.
Well, that's actually a pretty good thought with taking prisoner by your own thoughts, because behind your walls infers that notion of the mind, the head behind your walls, what's inside the brain and what it does. Now that opening stanza, it's a great scene. The moon squints through my curtains, torn and tattered, battered bedstead, now my dreams deferring, threadbare carpet, tea and bloodstains spattered. My back door slams, the walls around my heart subside, give way, so the teardrops start. There's a nice dark notion of staying up late at night, or not staying up, being forced to stay up late at night because you can't sleep. The mind is working overtime. And then he hits in the falling now upon my broken bones. It hits on the idea of being broken totally. I like that next line. Acid snowflakes, caustic, burn my eyes. Acid snowflakes. There's as tears, they kind of have cold, almost emotionless, yet they burn anyway. And at my garden now the sleeping stones that stir and shred my flesh, my soul denies. And I remain within my house of pain, again, house of pain, the walls of one's head, and Satan's sable sings his sweet refrain. That was a great end line. Now the back end of this kind of hits on why he's up late at night, can't sleep. Trying now to bridge the gap to you, my battery dead, the phone lines are all cut. It's on that idea of being shut out totally. And my garden gate, event horizon blue, morning coming, that blocks the path with screaming, no way through. My bedroom prison door at last slammed shut. That kind of hits on the idea of falling asleep in the moment because you've worn yourself to the bone, so to speak. Nicely done, Rich. Thank you. All right, Jean. Is you back?
Yes, I am. And absolutely what they said again, because I was not here for most of it. So, you know, I got here in time to hear Pam start to comment, and I said, well, that's pretty impressive. And I went and I looked, and I was trying to, like, backtrack and backpedal. But I do think it was a wonderful write, many great thoughts throughout the piece. And I thought it was thought-provoking, and that's because I'm not in tune with the music, so did make me think a bit. And, yeah, I know that, you know, it's not written about the music, but it helps to have that little bit of something, you know? I mean, I don't know, I just, to get that feel in the background. So, but it was definitely a great piece, Rich, and thanks for sharing, as always. Let me see now, where am I going? Pam Ray, I have one for you. So,
all right, fill my eyes. Aha. I recognize that name.
You think you can read this one? I know. You know.
I'll probably stumble over it a few times, but sure, I'll give it a try.
Sure.
All right. The Visions of Division, and it goes like this. The dying of humanity, the mace in the face, the crowd gathering and splattering at the bus station cross, playing games with hands on weapons, nothing is for certain. It all just depends on the tint of the lens. Breaking the forsaken, taking the fake in, they claim to be your provider, your savior, and your guide. They promise that you'll make it through to the other side of the lies you fell in. And they say from a mansion far away, we want to understand you, but you're speaking with a lisp. You've got butter in your stutter, and you're burning to a crisp. Nobody told you the house was burning down. Nobody told you the posse is the clown. The three-ring circus of lapels and suits stand out, scream and shout, be prepared for the cure, the boot in the gut, the flood in the blood, the bullets, the sign, all for the crime of speaking your mind. You've got anxiety and you've got depression, inappropriate piercings, a failing reputation, and too many hair extensions. Your differences create tensions. Your opinions are lesions. They say you're not learning their lessons, but you've got their rotations and creation that will keep a nation flowing and guessing through Big Brother's messes. You're never good enough unless the god pimp wants to get off. Then you're the best whore on the raft, perfect for the craft of pork in the smoke, violence, silence, more and more. If you could track, you'd know the score, the scene of scene for the downtrodden and poor. They know separation is the key to prime the con mentality, conceived in the trice of the thorn. You're born to be worn. Don't you know the keepers weaken you while seeking you? to be something old and something blue, but you're the tear in the veil, the rip in the seam, something made new with the beat and the pitch of the scream. Open your eyes, they're tearing out your will, the cult carnality, creating their form of heaven in the perfect little pill. Through the vision of division, they say, if you want a taste of freedom, then you need to take a loss. End poem.
Great poem. Gene, did I hear you?
Yes, you did. I wanted to tell you. I think that this was a fabulous love poem.
I like that.
But it's all about the love of what? No, I'm only
kidding.
Well,
if it's a love poem, there's some serious carnality going on here.
Well, you know, these days you never know what might happen. But I have to say, Pam, it was a very strong and powerful write. You know, you didn't mince words. You just put out there exactly what you wanted to say. And I think you did it well. I mean, really, it was wonderfully expressed. You know, but man, oh, man. Brutal. You're brutal, girl. You're brutal. And that's a wonderful.
Yeah. Thing. Well, you know, I got to practice my Komodo dragon attitude.
And you're working on that, I see. But I do. I think, that, you know, it's a great thing because, you know, you do always speak your mind, no matter what direction you're taking those thoughts, whether it's a softer right. I know she doesn't write anything soft. She doesn't want anybody to know that. but, you know, when you get into these strong rights, I mean, you really do. It's like, man, I don't know. I think you were one of them serial killers that got away in Wisconsin. I do. This is really, really like,
oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
But it's excellent. You're welcome.
All right. What song was it you took?
Come Out and Play, Gotta Keep Them Separated. That one?
Yes. I thought that because you threw that line in, they know separation is the key. And it was funny.
Yeah.
I remember when I heard that way back in the day, and I thought that's a hell of a way to open a song. Because I remember... it used to be a commercial for bras back in the day. Lift and separate.
Yes.
And when that came out, oh, shit. Why would you want to go that route? It's kind of strange opening to the song itself. But their motif fits the song itself, and this is kind of wicked. And there's some play. You hit on, what was it? You hit on, who was it? You hit on something earlier for the downward thought of rapping, but you hit that with this too. you've got anxiety and you've got depression, inappropriate piercings, a fair reputation, and too many hair extensions. Your differences create tensions. Your opinions are lesions. They say you're not learning their lessons, but you've got the rotations and creations that will keep a nation flowing and guessing through big messes. You've been pounding the sand and listening to the whiners on the street for this.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, they were actually, the Offspring were credited along with Green Day and a couple other bands with bringing back the interest in punk music, that the revival of punk music that came about in the 1990s. and I think that particular song of theirs, Come Out and Play, was really represented the whole punk attitude of rebellion, but also making social commentary. Yeah, it was either, I knew I was either going to do this song or I was going to write a parody to Pretty Fly for a White Guy and make you sing it, Rex. So.
Oh, God.
you know Weird Al Yankovic, right?
Yep.
And I think he wrote a parody to that song and called Pretty Fly for a Rabbi.
Oh, my God.
Well, that sounds like it might be funny. Just like Madonna's song he did, like a virgin.
Like a virgin?
Yeah. Oh, he did some strange stuff back in the day, but he made a lot of money doing it.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I remember what punk was dead for a while because it had a brief intro in the mid-70s, early to mid-70s. You had the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, and a few other bands, and it kind of petered out. But this one, it hits on the satirical end of things with Offspring, and you kind of hit that note with this too, the satire angle of Notice, and yeah, this kind of sucks. But I also noticed that the song we played today, that opening, had me thinking of Nirvana based on the intro itself.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And some of their other songs, they do hit on Eastern musical notes, but some of their other music, I thought of Tom Petty with some of their songs, as well as other groups. So I guess they were influenced by a lot that was going on with the day. Maybe just, it didn't have to be the whole song, just a brief note insert. That is Nirvana right there. That's a bit of Tom Petty. There's some blues on this one. So they played around with their music as well. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Absolutely. Well, Pam, it really scares me that you took inspiration from something that says come out and play, or you know, and this is what you got from that. That makes me nervous. So back to that Wisconsin thing. Just saying. Anyway.
I plead the fifth.
Come out and play. There's a little Hannibal Lecter in that one.
Yeah, see. See, I'm not that far off, I'm telling you. Don't know. Everyone be weird. Anyway. Rex, I have one for you. And let me put that up.
Casts, braces, or slings by Wichita Rick. Casts, braces, or slings. Night or day blend into one. Windows blacked out, limit all doubt. Holding back hurt, mental gain to disguise deep pain. Knowing others do feel like me, but they are not here to see that philosophy holds lots of clout. Here in my room, soon to test the limits of my soul without grief, major relief. Tomorrow's mystery will be if I capture a fracture, closed, open, hairline, new day await, another x-ray, breaking bones. Backed into a corner, hiding behind the lights. Unlike many, I hold back overbearing internal fright. She will soon be throwing her stones, loss of air, scream of death. Who will I be when I awaken? Nervous neurons playing will see my face. Here in my room, soon to test the limits of my soul, life without grief, major relief. Tomorrow's mystery will be if I capture a fracture, closed, open, hairline, new day awaits, another x-ray, breaking bones. My room, a bed, became a padded throne, revolving time has no zone, longing to lumber or to be put under. Past crashbacks are twisting my lumbar. The speaker fate hangs like a black or gold grate, which entrance or exit always an unknown. Here in my room, soon the testimonies of my soul, life without my grief, without grief, my major relief. Tomorrow's mystery will be if I capture a fracture, closed, open, airline, new day awaits, another x-ray, breaking bones. Have we held the door closed too long, blind for the good adjusting too easily with the wrong? Unexplored outside grows larger while the walls closing in make the room smaller. Do we give up or call the Queen of Hearts on a bluff? Have the number of bumps or bruises increased over time, as age just showed me I am not as strong? Many gamblers as we ramble move forward into wicked wind. Are we failing to foresee a fine future or blinded by hate without feeling love? Here in my room, soon to test the limits of my soul, life without grief, major relief. Tomorrow's mystery will be if I capture a fracture, closed, open, Caroline, new day awaits, another x-ray, breaking bones, and pump. Pam,
wow.
First look at this one.
Great read there, Rex. You know, I have to say that this is probably one of my favorites by Wichita Rick. In fact, I put it on my amazing rights list. I really like how he did this separation of the stanzas with the extremely long and short lines and then having the phrase breaking bone throughout. I thought really made an impact. It was interesting because I was chatting with him and Jessica in Late Night Poets last night, and he didn't really know the music of Offspring and the Offspring, and I happened to mention, and me and Jess were talking about how oftentimes, even if the music itself isn't your cup of tea, you can get something from the lyrics. Like, I personally think that the Offspring have some extremely deep lyrics, and I felt like he really caught that. You know, on the technical level, this has great rhyme and flow, a really nice rhythm to it. I thought it was a powerful write on the struggle with depression, feeling judged and alone. I really, like, he had some really just clever phrasing in here. Tomorrow's mystery will be if I capture a fracture, close, open hairline, new day, await another x-ray. Have we held the door closed too long, blind to the good, adjusting too easily with the wrong? You know, it's like, to me, that whole idea of, you know, what evil becomes good and what good becomes evil. And I really also like make a room smaller. Do we give us up or call the Queen of Hearts on her bluff? You know, wonderful Alice in Wonderland reference there. You know, you can just feel the physical and emotional pain throughout this. And the strong ending, soon to test the limits of my soul, life without grief, major relief. It's almost like that whole idea that you've gotten so used to the grief that you can't imagine what life would be like if you didn't have it to keep you company. So I thought this was very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
He says my name with hesitation. Did you notice?
I'm giving you an extra breathing note.
Yeah, right. That 30 seconds away, that's going to do it. I think this is a great job by Rick. I went down to the IN and I was like, okay. And he, you know, of course, he went breaking bones. That was kind of obvious in the wording. But he followed the thought, but he tried to show or rise above just keeping the door closed to negative. Having seizures in my sleep and the gamble each time I lay down explains my thinking better. That bedroom is our mind. So I think that really helped me to kind of like get in step with him in this write. And I think he did an excellent job. And I think it was very well done and well expressed. So nice work, Rick. And, hey, thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. There we go.
Well said, Gene. It is a deep piece that here in my room refrain that he runs a couple of times, it's on that notion of what you just read, the room being his mind. But it also walks on notations of where that mind is mentally. Night or day blend into one, windows blacked out, limit all doubt, windows being the eyes itself. Holding back hurt mental gain to disguise deep pain, knowing others do feel like me, but they're not here to see. That philosophy holds lots of cloud. You know, and keeps rolling on that, back to the quarter, hiding behind the light. Unlike many, I hold back overbearing internal fright. So there is a notion that walks on the thought of a mental facility, and that which goes on, because he also hits on my room, a bed, became a padded throne. Revolving time has no zone. Longing to lumber or to be put under. Past flashbacks are twisting my lumbar. Mystique of fate hangs like a black and gold gate. which entrance or exit always one known. It is that idea of the waking up and going to sleep. There's always something that lingers and kind of haunts, plays in the mind itself. You don't know what you're waking up to, and you don't know what you're going to get when you go to sleep. So you're kind of always on that permanent call, and that padded bed becoming a padded throne was a nice touch to both the thought of physicality, but also getting hurt in the moment. What else we got? Have the number of bumps and bruises increased over time, as age just showed me I am not as strong. Many gambles as we ramble, move forward into wicked wind. Are we failing to foresee a fine future or blinded by hate without feeling love? And that's a great thought in itself. Again, locked inside that mentality where you try to keep out the negativity, but the negativity flows easily within the mind because you're keeping yourself unto yourself. And you're bound to walk within negativity because nothing is ever positive all the time. Some things hurt, whether it's the broken bones itself, literally or figuratively. You did a great job, Rick. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're coming up back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, the next piece I had to put up is by this woman. This woman here.
Called Pam Ray.
Pam Ray, if you could read that for her, I'd appreciate that very much.
Yes. This is a poem titled No Title Yet that was written 5 years ago, so I suppose it's about time that it eventually has a title. And it was written to All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan. And it goes like this. Behold down there, said a prince, that joker is frantic with confusion. Yes, said a second prince, the thief believes he has the answers, but up from up here we see it's all just an illusion. I've had far better wine, declared the businessman. I don't mean to sound curt. Nonsense, said the plowman. Just throw it in the garbage with all this worthless dirt. I think it's quite unfair, said a woman to her sister. We run around while princes in the watchtower get a lovely view. I don't know why you complain, grumbled a servant. At least you have your freedom and a pair of shoes. The women scoffed. We have not got time for your problems. We're far too busy, mister. The wildcat licked its lips, stomach rumbled with starvation, looking at the people appointed to their stations. Fools, she growled, it doesn't really matter, man or woman, prince or pauper, a joker or a thief. They'll all end up digested and sated with those tasty morsels. I shall not feel any grief. End poem.
Nice job.
You've been out hunting in the woods again, haven't you?
What's that?
You've been out hunting in the woods again.
I believe it.
Yeah.
You missed the reference on that, the cat.
Yeah.
I think that went over ahead. All right, Gene, what you got?
Well, you know, I put down that you did a great job last time you read this for us, Pam. And I think that you did an excellent job. And I really enjoyed it. And, it's a great take on the piece itself, I think. You know. And, just wonderful, wonderful work. Gosh, it's been a long time. Long time. You think maybe you could? Yeah, I think you should title it. I think if you titled it, I would like it even better.
I probably should. Any thoughts?
You think after 5 years it might need a title?
Well, you've had plenty of time to think about it, that's for sure.
And nothing else to think about, so, you know.
It's the back end of this I was referring to. The wildcat licked its lips, stomach rumbled with starvation. Looking at the people, pointed to their stations. Ooh, she growled, it doesn't really matter. Man or woman, prince or pauper, a joker or a thief, they all end up digested and sated with those tasty morsels. I shall not feel any grief. The cat is on the loose.
There you go.
A nice play off the song itself is you do a, you roll in the thought, with the, you got the joker in there, you've got a, the wildcat. And a few other things. Well, it does walk in that trail of Dylan, but holds a harder note, especially with the, hey, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm going to eat your ass. You come out here. So, you want to take a walk in the woods? You're mine.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
We already know Pam is
and
talking to Dylan.
Absolutely. That was really great observation, Brett.
I saw this thing, this lady in Russia, she found a small cat out in the snow, took it home, nursed it. Not, it wasn't a cat, it was a kitten. So she took the kitten home and fed it fresh milk, sour cream, and cottage cheese. The cat grew up nice and healthy and didn't realize it was a very big cat, a very large cat. Anyway. Somebody tried breaking in one night. I think three or four robbers. And when the police finally got there, they found bodies because the cat had actually taken one out coming in the window by the jugular, shredded another
one.
Wow.
What kind of cat did
it
turn out to be?
And one out in the snow. And the funny thing is, this particular cat, although it looks very much like a cat, is actually very wild and feral, and it doesn't take company to people yet. She said the cat felt so good with this woman, it actually protected the home from these guys. It was they call it a manul, M-A-N-U-L, big cat,
yep,
with very sharp claws and fangs, and it tore some shit up that night.
Wow.
They shouldn't have busted into her house.
Yeah.
Yeah, hear the window breaking? That's mine, and you're mine, too.
Serves him right.
And yeah, I think they get to be about, like, 40 pounds.
Wow.
That's a very tidy monster of a cat.
You want one of those Maine Coon cats?
Enjoying sour cream and fresh milk and cottage cheese curds. Boy, it did get healthy. Who says cats don't make good watchdogs? At least one.
Right. That's right. Mess with my house and my mama.
Yeah, but you think about 40 pounds, I need to feel like one cat. That's huge. I've had 20 pounds, those are big. But 40 pound and all lean, mean, claw raking machine.
Mean, fighting machine. I get it. I get it.
But took the first one out with a bite to the jugular.
Yeah.
And dragged his ass through the window.
That's, well, you know, that's really what it was, is the equivalent of someone step, you're breaking into an animal's den. I mean, that's his home, you know. And they protect their home. Here, and this is for everybody. La, 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 la. Look at that face. That looks like a mean kitty.
Oh, yeah, that's it right there.
Yep.
And it, by the picture, it doesn't look much bigger than a regular cat, but it is mean and feisty.
This I'm going to share this link, but and this is for everybody to get a kick out of later. This page that I went to says they're very expressive with their facial features. So I'm going to put that up because they are pretty funny. Get these crazy looks. Oh, there's Bear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, he looks mad. Okay, one's open up. Mad at me.
You will both be happy to know that after 5 years, I've come up with a title.
No way.
Well, I didn't take them.
Yes, I'm calling it Digestive Morsel Sating and Appetite.
And put a picture of this cat on there. That's a good measure.
There you go.
I have no doubt Bob Dylan is rolling in his grave at this moment.
Oh, my God. We never know.
Oh, my gosh, those things are so fierce and funny looking and very expressive, like you said.
Right? Absolutely.
You get it as a baby. You don't know because it looks just like any other kitten.
Well, even if it wasn't him, just any other kitten, I mean, it's still your baby. You've raised it. You know, you've given it a home and shelter and love.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well,
you don't even think
that being a typical cat. You're my pet.
Yeah.
Not yours, you're mine.
You kind of have to stop and think, though, that woman lives local to where those cats live. Yeah, I think she might have noticed, but it's okay. I mean, it didn't do her any harm. That's a plus.
No,
okay, Rex,
nice,
I'm going to tell you what.
Relationship.
Absolutely. You take care of me,
right,
and I'll protect the house. All good. Now, listen, I have one poem left, so I'm going to put it up now. And
okey-dokey.
It is for you, right? So,
all
that's
right.
Why I hesitated.
You Say, I Say by Incubus 2. I say I love you, you answer, yes, I know. I try to reach you, but you just turn and go. I beg, but you can't hear me. You're talking on your phone. As even when I'm with you, I'm standing here alone. I buy you flowers, but they wither in your hand as you take another text from perhaps another man. I try to think the best of you, but only see the worst. A loved one so beautiful, now forever cursed. The jewelry I bought you, you pawned or gave away. Just like the love you gave me, that was never meant to stay. You tell me that you love me, I answer. Do you now? And reach out for my car keys and question you on how. How do you love me when you love to play the field? As you desecrate the altar at once, I would have kneeled. It's time you felt the loneliness of two living as one. As I slam the door behind me and light your love. I'm gone. Man, poem. All right, Pam.
Great read there, Rex. I really like how you put the emphasis in the I'm gone. You had a very bluesy feel to that. Really awesome. I really liked this, right? It's got really nice rhyme and flow. Oftentimes I prefer poems where the stanzas are separated to give that kind of pause. But here I felt like putting all the lines together gave it that kind of how you have to get something out all at once, because it's been bothering you for so long. So I really felt like the form in this case really added to emphasizing the emotion within the write. All throughout this, we see the idea that he is trying really hard. He wants the relationship to work. He loves her, and he wants to be loved in return. But she's too busy. I beg you, but you can't hear me. You're talking on your phone. As even when I'm with you, I'm standing here alone. I buy you flowers, but then that they wither in your hand. As you take another text from perhaps another man. Now that I found interesting is that I felt like there's, you know, like the whole idea of, yeah, she could be texting anyone, but there's that idea of the suspicions that start coming up as you get more and more ignored. How do you love me when you love to play the field as you desecrate the altar at once? I would have kneeled. And the whole idea that relationships are sacred, marriage is sacred, And there's this idea of once realizing that the other person doesn't treat it as sacred, you just have to walk away, slam the door, and just, I really like the finality of that end line. I'm gone. You know, there's no added to it, like no chance of I might come back. No, it's final. So just a wonderful, powerful rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Okay. Well, I think it was a well-done piece. I thought the emotions were well-expressed. Great rhyme and meter throughout. And, you know, there comes a time when we all need to learn to walk away, to just, you know, throw in the towel and say, you know what, this is a one-way street. You know, because you can't have a relationship on a one-way street. It's got to be a two-way. So, So I think that the Incubus did a great job with this. I don't know the song, but I don't think I needed to in this one.
It was the song we opened the show with.
Oh, Lord, I spent that whole time in the green room.
Called that self-esteem.
Gotcha. Well, the title alone is enough to, you know, set it up. But, yes, definitely. Great job, Incubus.
Actually, yes, because this is a mirror image to this song. And if I miss my guess, what's written kind of flows with the music itself. Am I about right on that, Pam?
I think you're right. Because the song itself was about somebody who had low self-esteem self-esteem and stuck around and put up with the shit. Yeah.
Anyway, it is a perfect mirror image to the one, the self-esteem hits on the abuse and taking it, while this kind of hits on the abuse and then walking away from it. So there's that note of, hey, we're done. As you pointed out, Gene, there's a time when you got to say goodbye. And the ongoing kind of fits that note.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, back to that furry face on the screen. That picture is big. Well, all right. What you got coming up Tuesday for the Twisted Sisters?
Twisted Tuesdays is I got a contest running with quotes from Bill Watterson, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes. So, and I went with either like little cartoon Calvin and Hobbes cartoon strips or quotes from Bill Watterson. So you don't have to be a fan of Calvin and Hobbes to find inspiration. I think there's something in that contest and that show topic that anybody can relate to.
Okay, though. And Jean, you got Wednesday, don't you?
No, I like really? Wednesday. I had...
Oh, that's right.
But tomorrow, Lou has open poetry, followed by After Midnight. What do you have tomorrow night, Rex?
Tomorrow night.
Trick question.
When
Stanley Kubrick.
Yes. Yeah.
There we go.
Quote some Stanley Kubrick pages.
Nice.
Will it be a space oddity? Will it be Drew?
Who has Wednesday?
I do.
You have Wednesday, Pam? Is that what you said?
Yep. I have Wednesday. And the contest is closed, but people can still write for the show if they want. We're featuring poetry inspired by the artwork of... what is her name? I know... I said it somewhere. We're featuring artwork by some chick, and if you want to see it, you want to see the artwork. I swear I said it somewhere. If you want to see the artwork, you can go to my contest, The Art of Seduction, Portraits of Intimacy. Oh, Ivana Vesovic. We are offering up the artwork of Ivana Vesovic for inspiration.
Very cool. Very cool. And Thursdays is Double Helix this week, right? Yes, it is.
That is
which
correct.
Which we did last week. Yeah. And then what do you have Thursday? Into the Darkness?
Or Break nope, on Break Through? On Through.
Oh, see, I can't keep them straight. Okay, that's wonderful. And then I have Open Poetry on Friday. I'm pretty easy peasy. Followed by Part Sinner, Part Saint. I don't know what Aphasion has got cooking, Aaron Babler. So, but what do you got Thursday? Yeah, your Friday morning, you didn't say.
Well, first of all, I did want to mention that Dexter is running the contest for Double Helix, which is a pre-write contest for autism awareness. I think people should know about that. And then for Break On Through, I am running a contest which has plenty of room in it with the artwork of Leonore Finney.
Very cool. Very cool. I didn't realize that the Autism Awareness show was this week. So I apologize for that. I would have made sure to say something.
Oh, no problem. There's a lot to keep track of. So, yeah, I've been getting the word out there, and I plan on getting it out more. So, and I hope other people will when they get a chance, you know. Have it mentioned on shows and stuff would be nice. We'll see. But, definitely an important show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
now we're at the back end and actually in overtime. So I guess this would
right.
be a good note to say, great show, Gene. Thank you for backing up. You realize you went the whole show without a mute.
That's because I didn't have, there's only three of us. I couldn't dare mute.
Oh, you can't even take a compliment. That's bad.
That sounds like a popcorn kettle blast.
A lot of fun. Pam, thank you for sitting in. Robbie and Jeremy, I don't know where you guys pan it off. You're probably in the hot tub since you were slinking around bare-ass. So thank you for the board. And come back next week for Eddie and the Cruisers. I'm going to do it again.
Awesome. Sounds like fun. Okay, guys. Well, look, it was great hanging out with you, too. Pam, just keep your Wisconsin under control, and we'll be fine. Thanks. It's a great show.
Great show,
and,
both of
everybody
you.
Have a what's that?
Absolutely.
Oh,
thanks, guys.
Oh, I said it's a great show to both of you. It's always fun hanging out with you.
Thank you, but I had nothing to do with the show. I just hang out and do the phones. I'm that girl.
And yep, you read quite a few pieces. Aha.
Don't tell anybody. Okay.
And they were all within your wheelhouse for length.
See, well, that's because I only do the short ones. See, unless I give them the planet.
Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, see, that's it. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I hope you all have a great night and a good day tomorrow. Everybody have a great week. Much love.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. You're too funny.